It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. This hour we'll be talking about politics and marketing, but not the marketing of candidates and the persuasion of issue-oriented ads, but the marketing of products and services by companies that wear their politics on their shirt sleeves. Penzies, T-Mobile, Apple, Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A, and even Chrysler, Budweiser, Coke, and Pepsi have either taken political stands or released commercials that seem to have political implications. Here to talk about it is Jason Malika. He's a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University. One of his areas of expertise is public relations. So what do you think? How much do you care about the political and social stances that the companies you do business with take? Have you boycotted a company over its stance on a political issue? Do you make it a point to do more business with a company whose politics line up with yours? And if you own a business, are you upfront about your politics, or do you keep quiet about it? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That phone number again is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jason, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, Glenn, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, this new survey from Morning Consult says most people want companies to show their political and social colors. Why do you suppose that is?
You know, I think we're in a time nowadays where we're really seeing people much more active in how they feel about where the country is going, but also where their brands are going. We've seen it, I think, just obviously, I think we can say it's the Trump effect. There are a great many people that are support the president, but there are also a great many people that oppose him. And it's not just the president, it's both parties or wherever you stand politically. So from my opinion and from the research that I've done over the last year or so regarding this is that it just seems like people want to find out where their brands, where their businesses stand, so they can decide whether they want to continue to frequent a store, buy a product, or even, you know, take part in an event of some sort.
Are more and more businesses responding to this? Are more of them wearing their politics on their sleeves?
You know, I think I'm sorry.
Yeah, go on. We can hear you.
I'm sorry. I think in many ways, people do want to know where people stand. I understand it. Why? I mean, you can go back through time and marketing and public relations and see that, you know, great many people want to know where people and where brands stand when it comes to issues. And we saw it during the 80s. We saw it in the 90s. And even we saw this during, you know, the post 9/11 world. We've seen companies sort of, whether they, you know, fly a flag or whether they, you know, put a pin that says, I support our troops and things along those lines. People want to know this. So I don't think it's anything new. I just think in today's climate, it has become, and to not to sound using a buzzword, but it has become uber important for people to know their favorite company stands when it comes to issues that are most important to them.
Well, you mentioned President Trump. Bill Penzey, the owner of the Wauwatosa-based Penzey Spices, which has nearly 70 locations in 30 states, has been exceptionally vocal about his distaste for Republican policies and specifically the president. In fact, after Mr. Trump won the election, Penzey told Trump supporters in an email to customers, this is a quote, "You just voted for an openly racist candidate for the presidency of the United States of America." We invited Bill Penzey to join us for a few minutes this morning, but nobody got back to us. But he did tell the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that he expected to take as much as a 30% hit in his business. But he says in-store sales have fallen, but only by the low single digits, and online sales are way up. Does any of that surprise you?
You know, it really doesn't. And because I do think I saw a study last year by Sprout Social, and of course, this is for online. You know, consumers want to buy from brands that are honest, friendly, helpful. Yeah, 39% of them said that they wanted brand personality on socially politically correct. But I think it goes back to that honest, friendly, it may not be the most friendliest of emails, but I think honesty goes a long way. At least I know where Mr. Penzey stands. If I choose not to frequent his store or buy something online, that's on me. But in many ways, if his business is known over the years to be very good, if he has a good product, if the herbs are better than something else that somebody else sells, he's going to see people still stay. If people are absolutely offended about what he is saying, then they'll go somewhere else. But it's clear, and I read the same article that you did, it's clear that if online sales are up, his message is starting to obviously resonate amongst people that he's hoping to not only have as customers that will be, but also support his message.
Now, according to that survey, Democrats care slightly more about all of this than Republicans do. 59% of Democrats said a company's stance on a social or political matter is important when it comes to buying a product or service, as compared to 55% of Republicans. Democrats were also more likely than Republicans to care about donations made by businesses by a 55% to 47% margin, respectively. What if anything, do you read into that?
Well, I think we also see from this is that, you know, we obviously see a very big split as far as how Republicans and how Democrats feel, at least on overall issues. But I think it does come back to the honesty factor. Just as long as brands and businesses are telling us where they stand, if they're a business that supports, not necessarily what the president's overall message is, but if there are some things they support about it, if you're, you know, obviously in the survey, it did say you have to be careful what you're saying about veterans and military families. And obviously that's very much true. I mean, you can't necessarily come out and say, oh, I don't support the president and his stance on the military is, you know, is very, very disrespectful, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you are going to alienate a great many people. I also think in many ways it does show that what people and what potential consumers do want is they want brands, especially in this day and age, to be honest with them. Tell me where you are coming from. Let me know so I don't feel like I'm having the wool pulled over my eyes when I either go online to your store or actually go into a brick and mortar store and feel like I'm really totally getting hit over the head with whether it be Democratic messages or Republican messages. As long as you're telling me how you stand and it doesn't affect in the sense of the actual selling of product, then I think people are more apt to be a little more open-minded than what we actually see on social media, too.
Is there a difference between a company that openly advocates for something and one that merely donates money to a cause?
You know, I think in some ways it goes back to transparency. If you are telling me as a consumer that, you know, we donated to our local Democratic Party's campaign for something, that's fine. That's on you. I personally don't have a problem with it. It's same thing goes with Republicans. If you decide to donate to the president's reelection campaign or some other, you know, issue, while I would feel a little, you know, uncomfortable, if I know that business for a long time and I know they sell a good product, it's not like I'm being blind to it. But I think a great many people nowadays really do want to know where exactly these brands and these companies are coming from. So, you know, we go back to what, in a sense, what Mr. Penzi had said. At least we know he's being honest. He's not trying to.
Let's go to the phones right now while we try to reestablish a connection. Shy in Madison, you are on the morning show with Jason Malika.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I am a small business owner, and, you know, there's a reason why the ballot box is a secret ballot. You know, an individual's vote is an individual's vote, and if they want to share it, that should be on their own volition. I think we start a horrible precedence when we, you know, want to adapt the culture to, you know, what, change consumer spending habits. You know, it's neither here or there. Now, to the point about donations, yeah, all the donations and people, you know, helping out campaigns with their dollar, you know, that should all be public. I can agree with that. But where an individual stands on, you know, what they would like to see and change in policy and things like that, I think that's up to the individual to share in their own volition. It shouldn't be something that necessarily would change a consumer spending habit.
Well, Shai, let me ask you a question. You say you're a businessman. Are you in a retail business where you're selling products and services to people?
I service people who do sell things.
So you're dealing with other businesses primarily, and if you were to take an active political stance, do you think that would hurt your business?
No. I mean, I'm in a business of appearances. I'm in a business of communications. We're doing advertising as well. I don't think that that would necessarily hurt me because, you know, when you're on one side strongly, there's the other side that will, you know, act as opposition. So, I mean, there's always one side that will support you and the other side that won't. The reason why I'm strictly nonpartisan in pretty much all walks of my life is because my real viewpoint is that, you know, we got to stop this partisan divide. We got to come together, coalesce, and make some decisions for the betterment of all American people.
All right, very good. Shai, thanks so much for the phone call. And Jason Malika, I don't know how much of that you heard, but let me summarize it. Shai is a businessman. In his business, he provides services for other business people, other customers. And he said he avoids politics in part because he worries it would hurt his business, but also because he thinks it's time for us to stop the partisan divide and not have partisan politics apply to everything that we do in this country.
I respect Shai's position. I think there, in many ways, it is up to the individual business owner or brand to whether they want to become involved with getting their political message out. Obviously, this is the survey that was done by Morning Consult, and I really liked it. It was very in-depth, and it gave a lot of great information. Obviously, it's a slice of time, and it does give a good idea of what a good large section of U.S. adults believe. But there are business owners like Shai who don't want to dive into the political waters, and I respect that. And to some senses, I agree. I don't think we need to know where everyone stands on something. And as someone that has done a lot of work in public relations and now obviously with social media, I think in the social media world, we are always asking something. We are always wanting to know where people stand on something. If you say you retweet a message by someone online that happens to have a little bit of politics in it, people are going to automatically assume, oh, you support that person, you don't support this issue, et cetera. And I think that leads to the divide a little bit. So for Shai to say that he doesn't want to really dive in and give people his political, I respect that 110%. I think that's the one thing that we need to do have a little more of is have a little bit more of a calm, even though I want honesty. And from personally, I think many people across the United States want honesty as well, as long as it's not something that is hiding something so negative and supporting something so negative that it's going to hurt the overall nation itself and obviously brands.
Jason Malika is a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University with an expertise in public relations. We're talking about companies that market their products and services with either overt or implied political statements. We'll be taking more of your questions and comments after this short break. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. A new survey shows that most Americans care about the political and social stances taken by the companies they do business with, and some companies are responding. We'll be talking about politics not just in the marketplace of ideas, but in the marketplace of goods and services with our guest, Jason Malika, a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University with an expertise in public relations. So how much do you care about the political and social stances by the companies that you do business with? Have you ever boycotted a company over its stance on a political issues? Or do you make it a point to do more business with a company whose politics line up with yours? And if you own a business, we just heard from Shai in Madison who does, are you upfront about your politics or do you stay silent about it so you don't alienate your customers? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, during the Super Bowl on Sunday, most companies avoided politics completely in their ads, but T-Mobile was not one of them. Its ad showed a diverse group of babies, while liberal actress Kerry Washington suggested that today's infants will grow up to promote equality. Let's listen to a part of that ad.
You'll love who you want. You'll demand fair and equal pay. You will not allow where you come from to dictate where you're going. You will be heard, not dismissed. You will be connected, not alone.
Well, Jason Malika, why would T-Mobile run an ad like that instead of one about how great its phone service is?
Well, I think in many ways, people are aware of what T-Mobile is already. They know about their phones. They know about the service. They most know about what they're offering. I think putting themselves out there politically is twofold. One, they want their brand to be even more elevated. They want to make sure that people understand they're out there with the Verizons, the Sprints, the AT&Ts of the world, et cetera. But number two, they also want to, I hate to say it this way, jump on a bandwagon in some ways to get people that are on the side of, you know, equality and on the side of making sure that we grow up in a, you know, children grow up in a better place. So why not show that you're on that side and use it, you know, sort of that two-prong approach? One, I want more customers. But number two, I want customers that understand that we don't support what's going on in a negative light in the country. So why not do that ad? And I, you know, obviously they're going to get a lot of negative feedback. But on many ways, last year's Super Bowl ads were across the board. There were a lot of political messages, and some of which didn't get through to air. It's just, you know, in many ways, it's a marketing strategy, but it's also, if the CEO and ownership feels like they believe in the message, instead of selling phones, they're selling the brand, and they would rather be associated with something positive like equality than just continue to sell product and not make a stand at all.
Well, maybe they know that young people use smartphones and young people would be attracted to an ad like that. But there are a lot of people who are not. Let me read some of the Twitter responses. So T-Mobile decided to promote social justice instead of cell service. What sad pandering to the left. Here's another one. Worst commercial award by far. Americans are tired of people politicizing sports. It's one area where Americans can come together. And T-Mobile says nope. And then here's another one. Don't use babies to spew Democrat talking points. Democrats kill babies. Everyone knows that. So there was a message. There's some positive reaction. And the negative reaction, of course, was quite vocal and quite strongly stated.
Yeah, and I think in many ways, too, Glenn, what we're seeing a lot of now is, and I apologize for keep bringing it back to social media, as someone that does a lot of digital analytics and spends a lot of time on social media and, you know, in a sense, you know, helping students and professionals understand the strengths and power of social media. But this is one of the sides of social media that we've seen over the last 10 years that have really changed the conversation on how we look at everything from sports to entertainment to politics and even everyday life. Social media is a place where people can go to voice their opinions. It's also a very quick medium. It's a place where people can go give their opinion and feel that this is where I'm going to get my thoughts out. You know, from my perspective, I didn't have a problem with the ad. I didn't think it was something that was very bad. I thought it was something that had a good message. I mean, we all want, in some ways, we want people to feel like we are equal. But there is a lot of, obviously, divisiveness nowadays. But T-Mobile took a stand, and I respect that. And I think that's something that, you know, we're seeing a lot more of these brands today and businesses taking a stand with where, and obviously it showed in the study, that people want to see where they stand on issues. And I think T-Mobile did a good job. And I think the issues that we saw pop up were sort of the, you know, tweets that popped up on social media. That's going to be with everything, whether you're on the right or on the left. It's a matter of how a place like T-Mobile or a company like T-Mobile will handle this moving forward.
1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to Lynn in Milwaukee, who has been waiting patiently. Lynn, you are on the morning show with Jason Malika.
Hi, Jason. Good morning. Thank you. And hello to Glenn. With an awareness of how much money goes into super PACs by wealthy donors and an understanding of how that influences my life, everyone else's life as well, Just for example, climate change, that would be an example of where big money has influenced policy and politics surrounding that issue. With that awareness, I shop more with Penzi because of his political views, and I shop less at certain places because of their political views. So I think, and I think that's my right to give and choose, and it's sort of my way of trying to balance the, I don't have millions of dollars to donate to campaign support, so it's sort of my way to balance what I can do. And I do put my views out on social media. It drives some of my friends crazy, and the other ones, most of my friends applaud them.
Lynn, thanks so much for the phone call. So Lynn from Milwaukee, Jason, is voting with her spending dollars.
And she is absolutely, she is one of millions of people that do the same. And like I said earlier, we've seen it for decades now of how people will use their wallets to say, we don't support you, or we support you. I think in today's day and age of, so many news networks out there, so many ways to get news. You mentioned earlier about smartphones being a place where anyone from the age of, and I hate to say it, anyone under 10 years old to even, 90 years old are getting news on their phones and getting information on their phones. So if this is how people are going to, heighten their awareness and help, either positively or negatively affect a business, that's absolutely their right. And I think that's it's a great way to show that you support something. I think the politics of our world have become very, very, it's black and white. You're either on one side or you're the other. There's no in between. And so the way we find ways to helpfully support what we hear and the businesses that the businesses that sell or are market to us, we're going to spend money with them. And if we don't support them, we're not. It's a very, very tough time, especially for marketers nowadays, because you have to really sort of, you're not walking on eggshells, but you have to make sure the ice is solid on the lake. It may look solid, but then you step in and realize you're going to fall straight through. So I think that's something that marketers and even PR professionals sort of keep in our mind, is that if our strategy isn't smart, we're going to be affected really badly. And it won't just be a 24-hour thing. It'll be a 24-month thing.
Well, Paul from Eau Claire emailed, how should companies react when they're put in a sticky position of renouncing an endorsement, like when Papa John's Pizza was named as the official pizza of the alt-right by the neo-Nazi website, The Daily Stormer?
That's a tough position because, in one way, Papa John's obviously has supported, President Trump, has supported a lot of what the president has done, and obviously they're also the official, they're the one of the official sponsors of the NFL. In that sense, it's tough to go back and say we don't support that message, because in many ways they've been associated with, either directly or indirectly, with the Republican, not Republican, but at least the president in that way. So I think Papa John's is in a very tough position. And this is where they supported a candidate and gave money to a candidate, and it ended up backfiring. It backfired very badly for them. And if the last I read, I know they had lost some business and had lost some financial signs as well, because of the support of the president. So I think you have to understand what your brand is up for. If your brand hasn't done any political activism or hasn't been involved in any sort of, divisive issue, or even if it's as small as supporting whether a road is redone in some ways, then you can't just jump in and expect, I'm going to go full throttle. You need to make sure that if you're doing something, it comes back to what we tell PR students all the time and our clients, as far as you have to have a strategy. If you just jump in and don't have a strategy, it's going to affect you very badly. If you have a strategy, yeah, it may affect you badly, but at least there's a way to say, all right, look, this is what we did. We can go back to find out whether why we went wrong and how we can correct it down the road.
We want to play clips from a couple of other politically charged ads from recent Super Bowls. This first one is from Budweiser. It generated a lot of buzz during last year's game, which occurred just a couple of weeks after President Trump was inaugurated. This is actually a minute-long ad. It was quite visual. We edited it down to 17 seconds, and it talks about the immigration story of founder Adolphus Bush.
You don't look like you're from around here.
I want to brew a beer.
Welcome to America.
You don't want it here. Go back home.
St. Louis, son.
Beer for my friend, please.
Any idea how Budweiser's sales were affected by that spot, Jason?
Last year, Budweiser took a lot of flack for, you know, what they were doing for the Super Bowl. I haven't looked at Budweiser's sales figures or marketing as far as how they have done over the last few months or even through the last year. But I will tell you that Budweiser is one of those brands that, unless they go totally off the deep end, they know what their base is. They know where people are coming from when it comes to Budweiser and their product.
Yeah, they're beer drinkers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, and that's something that I think in many ways we all look at as marketers and public relations professionals and say, all right, this is what Budweiser did. What did they do right? How could they have done it better? Or what did they do totally wrong? And try to figure out a way to make it work more effectively, either if you're internal with Budweiser or if you're another brand, whether it be alcohol, whether it be shoes, et cetera. You have to find a way to make sure that you understand your audience. And
Let's look at another ad involving cars. Back in 2012, Chrysler rolled out an ad starring Clint Eastwood, a Republican, called Halftime in America. It was about Detroit's comeback.
People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pull together. Now Motor City is fighting again.
Well, this ad was interpreted by some as a thumbs up to President Obama ahead of his re-election bid, and it was interpreted by others as fuel for the Mitt Romney campaign. Chrysler, meanwhile, said the ad had zero political content. So what happens when people buy a political message that a company says isn't there?
That's the, in some ways, the indirect power of marketing. Chrysler knew what they were doing as far as putting that ad out there. They were trying to make sure people understood what was happening or what they hoped would be happening in Detroit as far as making a quote-unquote comeback. We can find, as individuals, we try to find, I think nowadays, we're looking deeper and trying to see, oh, what did they really mean when, like you said, they probably weren't meaning anything just to say, hey, this is Detroit. This is where we've been. We're around here. We're seeing something great happen. If people are taking it one way or the other, that may be a mistake in some ways by, in a sense, PR and marketing and saying, hey, maybe our message was not effective enough, or maybe it was really effective in the fact that some people viewed it this way and others viewed it the other way. If it drove sales to go up, or it helped sell the Chrysler product even more, then it was. I think Chrysler would be very happy. If sales dropped dramatically, and I unfortunately don't have the 2012 sales figures for Chrysler, but I can say that, you know, we would look at something along those lines to look and see how people felt. We would probably survey to see, hey, how were our sales based on from that ad airing until the end of the fiscal year? So I think, in many ways, as marketers and PR pros, when we look at things like this, and even individuals, whether you're, you know, a regular person with a 9-to-5 job or whether you're a consultant, you know, how the message hits you is going to drive you to either the store or to drive you to the competitor store.
Well, let's while we're talking about driving, let's give equal time to another car company. David from Lancaster emailed, "Don't miss Toyota's Super Bowl ad. A rabbi takes his Toyota truck to pick up a pastor, a Buddhist monk, and an imam. They go to a football game and sit next to a group of nuns, and the caption reads, 'We are one.'"
Mm-hmm. You can't get any more, I hate to say it, political than that. I mean, you're taking all, you know, all types of religions and saying, let's go sit down together and let's stop with the negativity and trying to divide us. That's something I think in the, we have to remember, too, in many ways, brands have a short, and some of them have a short time span of when they're popular. I mean, you can look at, you know, look at automobiles, and you can look at brands like Nike or even Adidas over the years. I mean, they need to make sure they're capturing their audience. And if they don't evolve and if they don't speak to what people are talking about or at least wanting, they're going to lose their voice. And I think Toyota diving in on something like that, it was very smart. I think it was effective because you're seeing all these types of religions come together to sit down. And it sends a message of, hey, why not sit down and get everybody in a car and drive off and let's go watch something and talk. I think that sends the message of let's make sure that we are always talking and we are always making sure that we are continuing a conversation so we can make our world a better place. I think in many ways it may turn some people off, but I think it also would make people very happy to see that Toyota is saying, look, we want to be part of the conversation.
Let's take a quick phone call from Nick in Central Pennsylvania. Nick, you're on the morning show with Jason Malika.
Morning. Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing in Central Pennsylvania?
Good. It's snowing pretty bad, but I'm on my way back to Green Bay. I'm just wondering, isn't this just all kind of like smoke and mirrors for kind of like a shallow type of person who looks to corporations for their values and morals? I mean, I really care about what companies do. I really do. And I do spend with my, I vote with my dollar. And I don't really give much, I don't know. I don't give much power to the commercials. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Nick. Jason, a quick response to that, and then we've got to take a break.
Sure. I hope Nick's driving safely. I know it's tough driving from Pennsylvania, having done that before. I think in many ways we do speak with our dollar. But companies also know people want them to be to speak for themselves. If you support a company, you know, all throughout your years, if you're a Toyota buyer for your whole life, you want to continue to see that they're evolving along with you. So while some people don't listen to what brands do and just go and spend, some people are very, very much in tune with what their brands do nowadays and do allow them to sort of guide what their principles are in some ways in their lives.
Jason Malika is a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University with an expertise in public relations. We're talking about companies that market their products and services with either overt or implied political statements. We'll be taking more of your questions and comments next. Be patient. Don't hang up on us right after this break. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. A new survey shows that most Americans care about the political and social stances taken by the companies they do business with, and some companies are responding. We're talking to Jason Malika, a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University. He's got an expertise in public relations. We do want to hear from you. How much do you care about the political and social stances the companies you do business with? How they come down on these political and social issues. Have you ever boycotted a company over its stance on a political issue? Or do you make it a point to do more business with a company whose politics line up with yours? 1-800-642-1234. Again, that's 1-800-642-1234. And let's go to Mike in Jackson right now. Mike, you're on the morning show with Jason Malika.
Good morning. I think it's perfectly fine for companies to espouse their political thoughts, because that's their business. And if they do that, they're the ones, they know the consequences, they're taking the chance and so on. And I think with a lot of things that have happened with Citizens United and the fairness doctrine being shot down, which maybe your host wants to explain that to people, there's no voice on the left, period. Talk radio is in 90% of the communities. It's all people listen to, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh. So you need to get the message out. And I think people can answer with their pocketbooks. And if they're told they can't do that, I mean, what's next? We're supposed to, well, we can't protest, we can't do this. I think that's a perfect vehicle to answer with your pocketbooks and let people know how you feel. And if Jimmy Johns wants to shoot his mouth off, and it's been bad by in fact, for him, because it was a bad mistake, he's lost a lot of business doing that. He ought to shut his mouth if he wants to increase business. That's my thought.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the phone call. The Fairness Doctrine, of course, was the policy that was in effect up until the Reagan years, in which if you were a broadcaster, you had to provide more or less equal time to all points of view. So if you had a radio license, you had to make sure that all points of view were heard. And that's, of course, a lot different than it is today, Jason, where you have talk radio outlets that are all right wing, or when we had Air America on the air, it was all left wing.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to my days at Temple University in Philadelphia, where when I had my journalism classes or any of my communications classes, we learned about, you know, you have to give equal time. I remember an instance a number of years back when I was working in Philadelphia, and there was a political candidate that was supporting, or a political member of office that was supporting one of the teams, and someone sent a letter and saying, well, this person happened to be a Democrat, said, well, where's the Republican person? And I understood that, because that's how people viewed it. I think in many ways we're seeing, we have become even more, you know, as far as there's no middle of the road. Yes, we hear all about the Fox News of the world, the Breitbarts, et cetera, and they're getting all the coverage, or a lot of coverage. But I think in many ways we have to look at it as, how are we getting that segment of time? And I'll use the Super Bowl, for example. Companies and brands spend millions of dollars to get those ads. But they're also now going online, because they realize that they can't just depend on the television audience anymore to see their advertising. So they're using YouTube, they're using social media, Twitter, Facebook, to get their information and get their ads out. They also realize that they're more apt to get a wider range of an audience if they share on social media, because that's where businesses and brands are going, and that's where consumers are. They're on social, they're using it to shop, and they're using it to use it as part of their activism. So I think in many ways what people are seeing is it's been the change over the last 10 to 15 years with how electronics have evolved, the way the media has evolved, and you know what? Public relations, marketing, and advertising, and it's had to evolve with it. So if they're going to use these avenues, to try to build their business and keep business, then they have to try the best to do it.
And here's another example. Let's talk about the wall, which is the most divisive political issue, the construction of the wall against the U.S.-Mexico border, according to this morning consult survey. 37% of consumers said they would be less likely to buy from a company that supports the wall. And by party, that breaks down to 61% of Democrats and 15% of Republicans. We did have a commercial by a building material company, 84 Lumber, in the 2017 Super Bowl. This was probably the most controversial ad that year, which led to a social media boycott. The spot chronicled a Hispanic mother and daughter's journey to enter the United States via the southern border, only to face a wall, and then a door constructed out of lumber appears and opens up.
That was something from my perspective that, when, and I, without trying to sound conceited, I consider myself to be fairly intelligent. I mean, the first thing I thought of was, are they supporting, you know, the door there? Or were they the ones that built the door? Did 84 Lumber supply the wood? And yes, I understand that they, you know, the door would open up and allow them, you know, to get in. But I think that was something where the planning and strategy for that was not correct. They clearly were not listening to what people were saying and clearly didn't understand the true meaning of what that would show to the American public and, frankly, to what people were thinking at the time. And that comes back to why would a company that obviously deals in lumber even try something along those lines? Because there was, from my perspective, it was very easy to get a wrong connotation for that. And I think from many senses, a lot of other people did the same thing. So I think this is where brands and businesses need to continue to listen to what their customers want. I don't think 84 Lumber thought, oh, if we do this commercial and we construct a door out of wood that we sell, per se, people are going to see we support people coming into our country. No, they're going to put it as that you support a border wall. So you have to, companies and brands, especially in today's day and age, have to be very, very careful about what their messages are presumed to mean instead of what they mean intentionally.
Let's go to Linda in Heartland. Linda, you're on the morning show with Jason Mollica.
Yes, hi, good morning. It's a great conversation. Thank you for holding it. I just want to make the point that I think as individuals and organizations, we have to look at the next step. There's so much divisiveness going on in this country, and there's so many extreme views, especially on social media. And what we need to do for organizations and as each person is to start the conversations toward the other side, not necessarily in terms of pulling them to what we believe in, but in understanding and really creating the bridges. We have to start finding some commonalities. We have to start rejecting all the extremism. I definitely, you know, do support organizations like Penzies, which has a fantastic product, very clear point of view that I do agree with for the most part. But we also need to start into the next step and have some more depth of conversation in terms of what do you think? Why do you think that? How do we find some commonalities? How do we move away from what's going on in this country in politics and as individuals find that common ground?
Linda, thanks so much for the phone call. Jason?
Linda makes a very good point. And I think it comes back to one thing where I look at it from what we teach in the classroom, then what I've done over the years as far as both in media and in public relations outside of the classroom. And that is, we have to make sure the messages get across as not as quickly as possible, but as effectively as possible, and also as clear as possible. There's so much time nowadays that we don't have to get the right message across. So if we have 30 seconds, we have to make sure it's as clear and concise, but also hitting the right audience that we're looking for. If a company doesn't do that the right way in 30 seconds or less, they've lost customers. Clearly, as we were talking about 84 Lumber, they were going to lose business. If we're talking about other brands that do not, are maybe more divisive in a negative way, they're going to lose business. And I think when you see people support marketing and advertising in this day and age, you're seeing people get it in very short and quick bursts. And that's where I agree with the caller, where she said that, you know, we have to get away from this sort of divisiveness. And unfortunately, because of how quickly media goes by nowadays, both online and electronically, as far as on over traditional television or even on the web, we want messages fast. We don't want to sit there and watch something that's 2 minutes long. We want it to be 15 to 30 or maybe a minute and then be done. So I don't think we're getting the depth of what we used to get, 20 years ago. But that's unfortunately the way things have gone. People want things quickly. They want it yesterday instead of having it right, getting it right the first time. And I think that's leading to a lot of what people going in the wrong directions as far as what's being said and what's being put out on the media. And I think brands are trying to do the right thing. Unfortunately, because they can't do it very quickly, even in a Super Bowl ad per se, the wrong message is getting across.
Sometimes it's not a political ad, an overt political ad by a company, but a company's policies, which have either political or social implications that raise some people's hackles. Mickey from Edric, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, called in and said there was a meatpacking company in southern Minnesota, and several decades ago, they ended up busting their union, and a lot of people were out of work. It was very demoralizing for the community. I still don't purchase products from that company because of the lifelong impact that one political decision had on us. And there's another example. Target Corporation suffered a backlash from conservatives after it posted a statement in April of 2016 welcoming transgender employees and guests to use their restroom facilities or their fitting room facilities that corresponds with their gender identity. The next day, the American Family Association, a Christian conservative group, called for the boycott of the chain.
I think in many ways, too, when we see these issues, especially, I'll take the Target one first, and we've seen over the years that, you know, people have taken issue to what brands or even businesses and companies do. We've had the issues with Starbucks where people, you know, are reading things wrong with the cups during the holiday season. With Target, you know, even though they took some flack from some, political action groups and some organizations, they appeared, you know, every time I go into a store, it doesn't appear like they're having much. Many people are having a tough time, you know, getting around. They're they're getting a lot of business in store, both online and off. You look at how people remember what goes wrong. Look at BP. I mean, I talked about this in one of my classes a few weeks ago, and I said, how many of you remember what happened with BP? And everyone raised their hand, and they remembered that it was the spill. And I said, but you've seen the ads since then that they've tried to rebuild their image. There are still people today, though, that when you say BP, they say, oh, I will never go fill up gas, or I'll never purchase anything that's involved with BP. Things like that stick with people for a long time, especially when it has to do with a very, very negative issue. With Target, I think it's something that was obviously at the time was negative for them in the sense of people were complaining. But I think at the end of the day, people were still buying from Target and will still go to Target. I think it was a very small issue that ended up not really damaging them for the long haul.
And one more quick remark before we have to go. The single most unifying issue is if a business donates to charities that benefit veterans and military families. 74% of Americans said they'd be more likely to purchase products or services from such a company. That's 81% of Republicans and 73% of Democrats. Jason, what does that tell you?
I think it obviously says, even though the numbers are a little lower, on the Democratic side, I think it's lower marginally in many ways. I think it obviously shows that we all as Americans support our businesses that love our veterans and making sure we understand that what they have done has gone above and beyond who we are in a sense. They've put their lives on the line, whether it be back from World War II or up until the conflicts in Afghanistan and in Iraq and across the world. That shows that we want to make sure that if you're going to support the military, we want you to know that we support you as well. And I think that's a very important thing to remember, that there are many even businesses that have veterans that are running their businesses. They make products that have that military message on there. And I think that shows that we want to make sure that we understand and people understand that our veterans and our military families are paying some of the sacrifices that we don't want to, so we need to support them as best we can.
Thank you for being with us today. Our guest has been Jason Malika, a lecturer in the School of Communication at American University. This hour was produced by Bill Martins with on-air production by Nyasia Allison. Also, Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we look at the historic alliance between Jewish Americans and African Americans in the battle for civil rights. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent on The Morning Show.